Welcome to Global Leader Radio, sponsored by the Executive MBA program at Kennesaw State University, discussing ideas that matter with people who care. Now here's your host, Director of Business Development and Instructor of Management for the Executive MBA program at Kennesaw State University, Alvin Miles.
Well, happy Tuesday and welcome to episode 26 of Global Leader Radio, the show with a particular focus on those individuals and organizations which do an exceptional job of identifying, attracting, developing, and retaining high potential talent. The purpose of our show is to engage in conversations that highlight our guests, engage our learning community, and add value to all who seek to optimize their leadership acumen. We achieve this purpose by providing our learning community with key takeaways to include resources and advice that have led to the personal and professional success of our guests, especially these three ladies that are here with us today. So today we reintroduce the discussion of a return of the return on an investment, and our topic today is the ROI of a KSU EMBA from a female perspective. So we have three of our alumni in studio to discuss this topic, and while one of them is a parent, all three of them are entrepreneurs in some way. One of them actually is an entrepreneur. And so they all have impressive resumes of success along with deep involvement in our program. So we're looking to learn quite a bit today, ladies. So no pressure, okay? No pressure. So with that overview, we welcome today's guests, Cindy Jacoby, Monique LaRue Wilson, and Paige Lillard. And so Cindy Jacoby is an entrepreneur and a certified coach with Biz Help Consulting, a company she founded, and she's been coaching for over 6 years at the executive and managerial levels. Cindy is a certified professional behavior analyst, and she'll need to use some of that today as we talk,
Absolutely. Be able
to help us with our behavior. And she offers numerous workshops, including the Art of Feedback and Sales Success, using the popular DISC assessment. Cindy has special experience working with teams and is currently a teaming coach supervisor with the Executive MBA program at Kennesaw State University. And she supports 8 coaches and 10 teams. Is that right?
That is right.
Wow. So she was recently appointed to the Coles College of Business Advisory Board at KSU and the Pace Academy Alumni Board. So Cindy is a 2006 graduate of the Executive MBA program. And next we have Monique Wilson. She's a consultant focusing on both small business and nonprofit sectors. And she is a program development consultant who's invested the past 11 years managing, implementing, and executing strategic business initiatives for small businesses and nonprofits. So Monique is the author of the new book, Cultivate Critical Connections, due out later this spring. She's the founder of, and I love this word, the Moso Nation LLC. And you're going to have to tell us a little bit more about what Moso Nation means. And she's a 2007 graduate of the Executive MBA program at Kennesaw State University. And third, we have Paige Lillard. Paige is the VP of Business Excellence at Turner Broadcasting, and that's the home of CNN, TBS, TNT, the Cartoon Network, and True TV, and one of my favorite of all-time cartoon characters, Space Ghost. So her education, she has a BA from Hofstra University. Her MBA is from Kennesaw State University in the Executive MBA program. And she's participated in the Women's Leadership Forum on International Expansion and Change Leadership. And she recently earned her certificate in Mergers and Acquisitions from KSU's Executive Education Programs. So her specialty, she's received the Baldrige Award for Performance Excellence, and she's currently one of 12 judges nationally who made the final recommendations to the President of the United States. That must have been quite a feat. And she's shaking her head currently,
yes,
up and down. So currently she's responsible.
See that on radio?
She's responsible for development and of strategy and execution in technology and operations worldwide at Turner. So ladies, welcome to all three of you. Welcome to Global Leader Radio. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
So Cindy, let's start with you. So how are you today? My understanding is you visited across the pond, and the Queen has said hello, and she sent a special thanks based on you coming back, right?
She did. She summoned me last weekend, and okay, I was there just from Thursday, and I flew back last night. Had a great trip.
Well, good. Well, you haven't been back long enough to have jet lag, or how
I don't,
you feel?
I don't think it's hit me. I feel great.
You feel good.
Bring it.
So tell us a little bit about Cindy Jacoby. Are you a Georgia native?
I'm a Georgia native. I was born and raised in Atlanta.
Wow.
Went to high school at Pace Academy.
My goodness.
Went to the University of Georgia, where I started my tour of colleges. Following Georgia, I went to West Georgia College, which is now West Georgia University.
University of West Georgia in Carrollton?
Yes. Got a master's degree in education and counseling. And I was a guidance counselor for many years.
Very good. Very good. So I know from both knowing you and from your bio that you were the vice president of sales at Medical Electronic Attachment Incorporated, or MEA. So what eventually led you to follow your entrepreneurial calling?
Well, I think my current working with the EMBA program now, I mean, I've been volunteering with the Kennesaw program since I graduated in 2006. I went through the coaching certificate program and have been a volunteer coach. Kennesaw has, as you know, a huge aspect when it comes to coaching. And so they have, all of the students have their own individual coaches, and then Kennesaw is now providing teaming coaches. So we're not a team coach. We don't want our team to win necessarily, but a teaming coach. We want to help them form and learn how to challenge each other, hold each other accountable, give and receive feedback, and that's been a real joy, and I have been doing that for many years, and finally, I put my KSU education to the test and said, why aren't I doing this full-time if this is what I like to do? So it hasn't even been a whole year yet,
yes.
But I founded BizHelp Consulting, and it's been a lot of fun.
Good, and you're obviously very passionate about it.
I am.
I see the smile on your face. Those that are listening to the podcast, you know, folks, we have about 2 million listeners at any one point in time. So they're just listening in on our short little conversation between four friends. So, Cindy, what's the ideal client for BizHelp look like? Would they be a business or an individual or both?
I think it could be either one. If it's a smaller to medium-sized business, I would love to work with teams. Even a larger corporation, I've got some ends with some of the larger companies here in Atlanta and would love to go from team to team to help work on the communications and the dysfunction that often is keeping teams from being able to achieve what they want to achieve. They've got the right people, they've got the right resume, but they might not necessarily have been taught how to work together and get the job done.
Okay. So how does Cindy Jacoby define leadership?
Ooh. I define leadership as having a vision, being able to inspire others, and to do that being unafraid.
Being unafraid. So you see that it's different because we are here to talk about the KSU EMBA program specifically and the ROI, the return on investment we get from that, particularly from a women's perspective. So do you see it any different between the genders?
I'm not a big gender difference fan. I'm not a fan of special women's awards. I just want to be treated like everybody else. And I think some of that is just the confidence that you have. I like to hang around with guys. I'm athletic. So I've never been intimidated by them. But I do understand, and sometimes I struggle with the role of special awards for women and special associations. And part of me wants to, I want to give back, but I also don't want to separate myself from that. I want to be who I am based on who I am and not, and she's a woman, by the way.
And so you, along with the other ladies here, juggle a lot of different roles. So certainly wife, daughter, parent, entrepreneur, community leader, servant in your community. Did I miss anything?
I have 2 chickens, so I'm kind of an in-town farmer now. We live in the city of Atlanta. We've got 2 chickens in our backyard. So I guess I'm a Buckhead Hillbilly is what I've been called before. So add farmer to your list, and I think you've got it covered.
So, you know, the folks that are listening to this program are probably saying, you know, what tips can I get from this Buckhead Hillbilly here, this person who actually came from Georgia and came from Atlanta specifically. So what tips for ladies particularly? Again, we're going to continue to talk along those lines. What is the difference? Kind of what is the X factor? What have you found that really can help them to move along, particularly in a kind of a rigorous program such as an executive MBA program?
I think, and this goes really for everybody, but maybe women especially, that you have to have a good support program. You have to have, especially if you have kids at home. I have a great husband who can step right in there, and the ladies who like to control everything, what their kids eat, where, and all this, and don't let their husbands do anything, bad idea. It's okay if your kid's wearing plaid and plaid because and your husband did it because you had time to go and study and get your work done. So don't be afraid to delegate, and don't be afraid to give jobs to the kids. Our kids empty the dishwasher. I mean, you don't have to do it all. Make a list, give it out, and people are happy to help. So use your neighbors, use your friends, use your family. But get the help that you need. It's hard to do everything perfectly by yourself, and sometimes you just have to say no to certain things.
So it is okay for a little kid, so especially little guys, to wear plaid. That is okay, especially if the dad's dressed them. Is that the message?
Guys and girls.
Guys and girls.
My son wears plaid shorts to school every day.
So understood. So we'll hit the pause button slightly here, Cindy, and we'll pivot toward Monique. So as we said in the open, Monique's a consultant who focuses on small businesses and in the nonprofit sector. And she's a program development consultant who's invested the past 11 years managing, implementing, and executing strategic business initiatives for small businesses and nonprofits. And I also happen to know that you actually work with a group, a mentoring group. Can you tell us a little bit about kind of what you do and then that whole group perspective as well?
And so tell me a little
bit. You remember it's the Pro Women's Group?
Yes. Okay, so right now, currently, my role at the current nonprofit that I'm working for, the Edge Connection, is working with an organization called ProWin, and they've developed a mentoring program for the clients that come through our nonprofit organization. And so what that means is every woman that is going into business has a mentor from this professional women's organization that provides, you know, expertise and advice in the areas that they've been successful in. And they mentor and coach, if you will, these women in different business aspects of business. So we're really, really excited about that connection and that opportunity for the women in our organization right now. Because, you know, I work with micro businesses, and micro businesses are the smaller of the small businesses, five people or less. I mean, you know, not a lot of capital. Right. Not a lot of capital to start, maybe a solo business. And sometimes we just don't have some of the information that's necessary for us to grow the business. And so, you know, having that mentoring relationship with people who have been in the business for a while is really great. So that's a great point. So, yes, that ProWin relationship. So I am working with them right now and developing that program a little bit more.
Oh, fantastic. Well, good. So can you tell us a little bit more about that very intriguing name of the company that you began, Moso Nation LLC?
Moso Nation came out right before I went into the executive MBA program back in 2005. And so Moso Nation really came out of my experience in micro enterprise and micro business.
Okay.
So Moso stands for Micro Owner Solo Owner Nation. So
wow.
The M-O-S-O just stands for Micro Owner Solo Owner. It's a nation and a community of micro and solo business owners. The whole platform is that we give educational content and information to these folks so that they continue to grow the business. So Moso Nation pretty much is just that. It's an opportunity for people to get motivated, stay connected, as well as to get information on how to keep going and doing this thing. Most of our country right now is run on the businesses of solo and micro businesses, if no one knows. And so just making sure that we stay busy and in that game is why I created the organization.
Well, great. Thank you for that. I'm a little remiss because I didn't begin with a little bit about you, the person. So tell us a little bit about Monique Wilson. So where is your original birthplace?
Original birthplace is going to be a little shocker because I think a lot of people think I am from the islands, which I am, but I was born in the Bronx, New York, but just stayed there for about a year, and then Mom moved back to St. Croix, and so I grew up in the islands, in the Virgin Islands, and that's where all my family is, my aunts, my cousins, everybody. My sister was born there and everything, so for the most part, I tell people I'm from St. Croix because that's the only place I really know from childhood, so yeah, I'm from there.
So the things that you're doing now, both with the Edge Connection and with Moso Nation, your own private enterprise, how do those things align with your passions? Is that something that you see that's really important to you?
Yeah, I mean, I have three passions that really just drive everything that I do, my intention in business and personally. And that is, number one, micro business and micro enterprise, because I've just been doing it forever and I'm a micro business owner. The other thing is youth development and young adult development, where it's motivational coaching them to just kind of prepare themselves. And then elderly care. So that whole Moso Nation innovation, micro enterprise is just really part of what I've been doing for a very long time. And so it just aligns closely because that's just where I want to stay. I think I've been out on my own for about 12 years, and so I've been in that space, and it's been great for me. And I like to see people grow and do great things. And so that's how that aligns right now currently with what I'm doing.
Okay, so the elderly care, is that more from a personal perspective? Or?
Yeah, that's more of a personal thing. I could go into what's going on with my mother and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I really just think that there is a lack of care in certain areas, and I would like to really tap into that as my business grows and I get more, you know, capital and money flowing so that I can tap into some of those things that I'd like to go into where elderly care is concerned.
Okay. All right. So when you start thinking about the things that this program has done for you, do you believe that your education and the executive MBA program at KSU prepared you for what you're doing today?
Yeah, totally. There are three things that came out of that whole thing that's really just prepared me for that. And I wrote it down because I didn't want to forget. And I kind of go on these three C's. I would say definitely confidence was one of the things that I gained. Capacity was another. And credibility. And so with those three things, it really just helped me get to another place because I didn't come out of the corporate arena. I've been in business for myself for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. So I had some personal development things going on where my confidence was concerned, and I really, really just needed to get that. And through the executive MBA program, I gained a lot of that, you know, just being self-sufficient and being able to rely on my team and having them rely on me, which just really built my confidence, and then the capacity, just all the things that I learned. And it's just been a tremendous, tremendous opportunity for me. So, yes, it has prepared me for what I am about to just burst into this year and in the years to come. So, yes.
Well, hold that thought. We're going to get to that in a split second. But now, with regard to the first of the C's, the confidence factor, mm-hmm. That has been called out in several different studies as being the number one thing. I see some heads shaking here. The number one thing that ladies lack with regard to the professional ranks mm-hmm. is the lack of confidence. Mm-hmm. So how did that manifest in you, and then how did you then bridge over to a place where you feel strong and more confident as a result of going through this type of program? And what are some of the things or experiences you went through within the program that really helped you to bridge that and really get more confident? Was it just a matter of practice, or?
I think because my teammates really had to rely on certain individuals at any given time. You know, I had a team that started with 5 and ended with 3. Mm-hmm. We had one teammate that was an executive level person that traveled a lot. And so we really had to rely on each other at certain given points to carry the load at certain points. And I had to step my game up. And so that really just meant that, okay, Monique, you might not have come out of the corporate arena, but you're in this program. You've got to stay neck and neck with the folks that are in here, and you've got to do this work. And so it just really built a strong base for me to just kind of step up, speak up, and just carry the weight. And so that really helped me as I left and came out of the program and went out on my own, that I am quite capable, you know, of doing and handling certain things. And so that's what that did for me from a confidence level.
Well, fantastic. We love to hear that. So we're going to press the pause button with you as well, Monique, and pivot over to Paige Lillard now. She's at my right, and she's the VP of Business Excellence for Turner Broadcasting System, and she's currently responsible for development of strategy and execution in technology and operations worldwide at Turner. So this is Global Leader Radio, and so you fit perfectly because you're worldwide.
There you go.
I love that. So, so what does the person responsible for development and strategy actually do on a day-to-day basis?
So we help myself and my team. I run an internal consulting team, and we support our business departments and divisions around the world to develop their strategies in alignment with our CEO's goals. Mm-hmm. And then the critical point is, how are we going to execute on those strategies? And looking at our business from a full systems perspective, what may we be missing or need more of or less of based on all the changes in our business, our employee base, our customers' needs, technology needs, And all the things that are constantly changing and happening within the business environment, what do we need to do as an organization in order to meet those goals? So often there's a lot of focus on developing the strategy, not a lot of focus on how are you going to make that happen? And do we have the right people in the right positions? And are we recruiting the right people? And do we have the right systems to listen to our customers and understand what they need and understand how well we're doing at that?
So how did you like the capstone game when you went through the program? I mean,
capstone was a lot of fun.
Yeah, tell us a little bit
about
that.
The reason being was one of the primary reasons I decided to get my EMBA at KSU was I felt I had gaps mm-hmm. in my professional capabilities, and it was largely in finance and that end of the business. So I was heavy already in operations
okay.
and in leadership and coaching and employee programs and things like that. I'd worked with teams and trained leaders, but when it came to sitting down in the room with finance and going over some budgets and things, and just the conversation that they might have, I felt the gap was too big for me to be comfortable to really engage in the discussion. Hmm. And that's what I think one of the greatest benefits of the EMBA is filling those knowledge gaps, whether they're perceived or real. Because if they're perceived, you're going to act as if they're real anyway. And so being able to go through that program and fill those gaps gives you the confidence, back to Monique's point, that they don't know a whole lot more than you know. Mm-hmm. Now, they have a job, and they're much more in-depth in what they do.
Right.
But the capability of and the ability to recognize and throw up a flag when you go, that doesn't make sense to me. How did you get here from there?
Right.
And then they go, well, I guess we can't just pull the wool over her eyes. So that was a critical piece. So filling those gaps was a big part of what I wanted to do. And the other thing is I had a very specific goal when I went into the executive MBA program because one reason I chose Kennesaw was it was focused on teaming.
Okay.
And I typically emerge as a leader. Just mm-hmm. when things, you know, you do exercises and leadership classes or whatever, and like, okay, you know, build a bridge out of paperclips or whatever it might be. And I help organize and get people together and figure out who's going to do what and how are we going to strategize this, what's our vision for the future of this paperclip bridge. I wanted to really stretch myself as a team member.
Okay.
And stop, you know, assuming, okay, or just naturally kind of taking a role, because if nobody else says they'll step up, I'll step up
okay.
for the good of the team.
Right, right.
But I wanted to really exercise what I really couldn't feel like I could exercise in my work life. Mm-hmm. I can't really step back just to see how it goes,
because okay.
I feel like I have to step up. That's my role. So when I was in my team and a lot of the teaming exercises that we had during the program at KSU, I purposely said, I will be a great team member, but somebody else needs the lead. And we get, during the process of the degree, you get feedback from your team members. And I was able to declare success towards the end. One of my team members said, Paige is a great team member, but she really needs to step up and lead because she knows a lot of stuff. I thought, I did it. So, those are two main things that really helped me out.
Well, I apologize. When I looked over your bio, I did not acknowledge that how long you've actually been at Turner. How long have you?
So I didn't write it down.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm trying to take the blow here. I'm trying to take the arrow.
Well, in the past, I would have tried to just, you know, gloss over it. But with the internet, there's no hiding your age anyway. So I've been at Turner 24 and a half years.
Well, then they broke child labor laws because you're certainly not old enough to be.
He's 87 years old. That's right.
I started when I was 7 years old.
There you go.
Quality control on cartoons.
And so you were subject matter expert,
yes,
cartoons
absolutely.
At 7. I mean, what else would it be?
Actually, I did Space Ghost. You would laugh, but I was an audio engineer on Space Ghost.
My goodness.
Your favorite show.
I love Space Ghost.
Yep. I'm an IMDb under an audio engineer for Space Ghost.
You know, I could take us off on a tangent, standing on a tall ladder with my power bands, and I had the buttons. I was ready, but I digress.
Yeah.
Let's move forward here. So, Paige, when you look at the number of teams you have, you're responsible for worldwide execution and strategy, right? But now, how many folks do you have worldwide?
So, well, I have 8 full-time folks on my team
okay.
that go and consult worldwide
okay.
or support our team. And there's about anywhere between 3,000 and 5,000 employees that we help support. So the divisions total, when you look at all the employees of CNN worldwide, the operations groups that we work with and different folks throughout that organization, and then Turner Entertainment worldwide, global. We have EMEA, Hong Kong, Buenos Aires are our major hubs. And then the U.S. groups. It's about 5,000 employees that we influence.
Okay.
I'm not responsible for them directly, but we influence what they do and how they do it. So we build a lot. We have those leadership teams build employee systems.
Okay.
So they can, you know, they can listen to the employees. The employees are focused on continuous improvement and can focus on how they can improve the business processes that they use.
Mm-hmm.
So it's right around there.
Yeah, so actually Turner's downtown, mm-hmm. right? And so you had a choice of many executive MBA programs. You've already said that one of the appealing things to you about KSU's EMBA was the fact that there was some teaming involved. So you had a chance to kind of look around at other programs and compare and contrast?
I did.
And so what did you see as the, I mean, notwithstanding the teaming, of course, but the differentiators? So what are some of the differentiators that you noticed?
Well, when I started looking at getting my MBA back in like 98, 99, 2000, I ended up going to KSU in 2001. But I started looking back in the late 90s at an organization, University Downtown. And one major difference was they didn't have a program that really focused on executives or people who are currently working at an organization and didn't have time to go get signed into a class, sit in a class and hope to get an ad sheet signed by the professor and things like that. That's what they offered to me. And I said, I really don't have time. I have a leadership meeting with the executive vice president from 10 o'clock. I can't go sit in a class in the hopes that a professor will sign an ad form for me. So I actually just stopped the process for about 3 years. And during those 3 years, I ended up teaching through a connection here at KSU. I ended up teaching the Baldrige Framework in the MBA class and actually met the professors and the leaders of the executive MBA program, thought the world of them, and thought the other key component was the continuous improvement element.
Okay.
So being a Baldrige judge and examiner for many years, I'm hugely focused on continuous improvement. And KSU was the only place that I had seen where there was feedback after every class telling, you know, tell us how this course went. Tell us how this instructor was. Tell us how the food is. Tell us how your support in getting your books are. And the fact that, you know, you come back the next class and things were improved. And mm-hmm. I thought if they're that focused on making the experience good for the student, mm-hmm. then that's a school that understands me and what I focus on as a business leader.
Okay.
I have to do that in my business. So having the school treat it like a business and listening to me as a customer was critical for me. So I talked to the folks that I had worked with when I was teaching, and they said, why don't you, you know, apply and get your degree here? And I said, you got it.
Yeah, why not? That makes total sense, and we're the better for it, no doubt. Yeah. So, ladies, I'm going to throw it out to all three. You're going to have a nice little discussion here in the time we have left in another 2.5 hours. Now watch your eyes glaze over. Well, so tell me a little bit about the biggest aha or eye-opening moment that you went through in the program as you first started, right? What did you expect, and then how did it really turn out? Was there kind of a difference in the expectation level of thoughts? Cindy?
I often go back to the new students and share this story because I came from the world of education, and I was working a lot with the program development of the school and summer programs, and it was entrepreneurial at the time and started dealing with some real money and decided I needed to go take some business classes.
Dealing with real money.
Yeah. To me, it was real money. Now, these business leaders, maybe not. But and I remember taking the pretest for accounting, so Page Financing is and I didn't know any answers. I had never had a class, so I didn't know any answers, and I would, you know, guess a couple, and I may have gotten one right. Luckily, it was multiple choice, and so I was a little intimidated when I first showed up for that first week of school. And on my team, there was a hospital administrator who'd been there for 5 years, or there's a hospital CFO, someone who worked at HP for 10 years, a manufacturer's rep, and a fuel cell scientist PhD. I was going, I'm a great camp director. If you need any good songs, I'm your man. But, you know, as we went through the program and I worked with my team, different people for different reasons showed their flaws, and I could show, you know, my flaws were obvious from the beginning, but then I could also show how I could contribute. And so, similar to what Monique was saying, is that you realize that you do belong and that you can contribute, and so the confidence that you get from being part of a team. And so when you leave the program, you know, think about how intimidated I was at first and how out of place I felt, but then how I felt like, you know, I do fit in and I can hang with these people and I can hang with people in the boardroom. And I know, you know, to Paige's credit, you know, to what Paige said, you don't have to know finance, but you at least can understand you know what questions to ask, and you know who you need on your team to fill your faults. You want to hire people who are smarter than you and mm-hmm. who can fill things that, that you're not an expert at. And so that's the confidence I gained. I can't remember how to do weighted cost of capital, and we laughed about this when we walked in. Is there going to be any math involved? But I can. I know where to find it. I would probably find somebody to do it for me, but I could do it if I needed to. So it's. I agree. It's the confidence that you get from going through the experience that, that
Okay, so Monique Page, aha moments, what you thought you would be going through and then what you thought you'd learn and then what you ended up learning and how perhaps your expectations were exceeded maybe?
The international component was big for me. Okay. So we participated in the Romania trip.
Okay.
And working with the Romanian teams was really eye-opening because I was, you know, you don't realize to what degree you're just kind of ethnocentric, so to speak, on understanding your own culture.
Uh-huh.
And that was before I started traveling heavily internationally for work for Turner. And so the experience that I had working with the teams from there and the, just a different perspective that they had. They had different rewards systems in school and different levels of commitment. And then we went there and met them. They're great people, but there was really interesting challenges to working our team and their team together and figuring out how we can make this work. Mm-hmm. So some of the I didn't really expect a big aha moment. I thought it was really cool that we were going to go someplace internationally, but I really didn't expect. That was a huge learning for me. And it was the basis for understanding as I expanded my world and started to travel around the globe to Hong Kong and Buenos Aires and London and other offices that, you know, how different people can look at the same thing you're looking at and mm-hmm. how you have to just be completely open to their perspective and change how you approach what you what you're doing. Mm-hmm. As long as you get to the goal, however you need to do it, it makes right, them feel comfortable, right. is fine. So I, that was one of the bigger aha moments. But I really enjoyed economics more than I ever. That was the other, I love economics. Who would have thought? I probably ran from those classes in college in my undergrad. But I really enjoyed some of the reason is the professors were so engaging. And they made it so real.
So what was it about economics that really was captivating for you? Was it the subject matter itself or how it was applied to the real world?
Yeah, both. Okay. So the subject matter itself, I'm really interested in systems thinking, how things work, the big picture. And I really wasn't aware of or engaged in the concept of how global economics is impacting such a big part of our national economic, scene.
It is a driver.
And how it all fit. Mm-hmm. And because I love seeing big systems and how they are all interwoven and they work, again, that was a huge learning of, okay, that may be the case here, but what about at our other offices? Hmm. And how is that really going to impact us, you know, our home office back here and our financial portfolio in whole? So now I'm really interested in mergers and acquisitions. And as I mentioned, I had just recently got my certificate here in that. And that goes right back into it. It's yes. all about if you're going to look at international acquisitions, you have to look at the whole economic cycle and look at the economic impact globally. So that was another aha for me.
Okay. Monique, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I think they've hit the ahas, you know, right there, especially the room, because I had never been out of the country. So that. Except for St. Croix, which isn't out of the country. So the Romania trip was definitely, definitely huge. But I will say just the whole program overall was just a huge, big aha. I mean, I was about to be 40, and that was one of the main things that I wanted to accomplish before I got there. And so, I would just piggyback off of them. I mean, especially economics, because that was my worst in undergrad. I did not get it. But, I learned quite a bit, and Dr. Allison Keefe, that's what I was going to say, really helped me to just kind of hold on. I mean, she was very helpful in just letting me know, Monique, you can do this, mm-hmm. Because I was already shutting down before I even, you know, got started, because I knew that wasn't a strength in undergrad, and I have a business degree from undergrad, but it was definitely my hardest subject. But at any rate, the whole program was an aha moment for me. Enjoyed every aspect of it. Teaming was big, which is why I piggyback off of that. And then, of course, the Romania trip, which because I had never experienced that before, and I made great friends while I was there. So I'll end with that.
So it just shows that this KSU Executive MBA program is kind of all-encompassing. 50% of the people that come into our program have a non-business undergrad, which is how we could actually work with Cindy and actually a person like me, because I had a non-business undergrad when I first started, and yours was originally non-business undergrad
as well?
Radio
and television communications.
Wow, mine was zoology. Can you believe it? Yeah.
Really?
I get that look all the time. But you know,
you get that look anyway.
Are you still a zookeeper of sorts?
Exactly right. That's what it worked out to be, right? So when you think through what you've seen at the KSU Executive MBA program, and you look at the faculty, how important was it for you to actually see females actually teaching in the program? Was that important? Did it matter to you one way or the other? What were your thoughts?
I think it's fun talking about economics and Dr. Keefe, who we had. Dr. Keefe is an attractive blonde lady who has this passion for economics, and so it's
really weird.
It really was.
It was.
And I remember looking at her going, really? Economics? Okay, I guess I'll give it a try. So I think I would say that definitely had an influence. Is that's not typically a woman subject, and to see her not just get through it and teach it, but also just she had a passion and a PhD in it, and we had a great time with her and learned a lot from her.
Yeah, that's it.
Any other thoughts? Okay, well, you know, when you look at the way this program has matured over the years. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that next year will be our 20th year. We actually started in 1993, mm-hmm. so it's not on a calendar year. It's more on the academic year, so the fall of next year will be the 20th year. Pretty interesting, because that's the exact same year I moved to Atlanta in 93. So I'm the reason why this thing has done so well.
Oh, wow. Clearly.
Too funny. So when you look at how this thing has really matured and gotten better over the years, how have you seen that it's really addressed some of the needs and some of the things that ladies need to really focus in on? Again, we're still looking at the ROI of a KSU EMBA through the perspective of females.
The thing that continues to strike me, and I speak to women's groups at Turner, is the confidence component, and the confidence comes from knowing where you are relative to your peers and those who you are presenting to.
Yeah.
I remember actually one of the women in my class, in my EMBA class, after I did a presentation, asked me, how is it you're so confident about when you speak? And I said, well, what do I have to not be confident about? Like, this is my field, right?
So it's what you live and breathe.
And you prepare, right? And it's one of those things of, what do you have to not be confident about? You know, and if it's that I don't know if I know the subject, well, then know your subject.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
if it's that, I spoke to another woman in another women's program who said, she said, I'm so worried about how I look. And I said, but this isn't about you. This is about your audience getting a message.
That's right.
So change your focus. But yeah. Some of that, you just have to, you learn from getting the experience of getting up and speaking over and over and over again. And in your EMBA program gives you the opportunity to do that. You become a subject matter expert on your piece of your presentation. You know your stuff. You prepare and you go and you put your boots and spurs on and you get on stage and you do it. And doing that over and over again builds your confidence.
Yeah, and you have to have the spurs on the boots too. I recognize
you need your
that.
Boots and spurs.
Yeah, you go. So another thing I've noticed too is that the way we have put together this program, the way we do this, is to make sure that you don't have time to always think this through.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times our confidence is dissuaded because we talk ourselves out of it, right? So there's an old saying that, why do we compare the worst in ourselves against the best in others? And that makes for a terrible experience across the board. So I think one of the things we do well in our program, and you can certainly chime in on this, but it's just my thought, is that we don't give people enough time to talk themselves out of it in some instances. And because we take so many interactions and we push them into a 19-month program, you do it over and over and over again. You cycle it over and over and over again. You get so many wins, and there are some failures in there as well, but this is a safe environment in which to do it.
Yes.
So when you can do all of those things together, I think you really sit back and you think through it, and it's going to be my next question after this one. You really think through it, quote unquote, then you realize, well, I can do this because I've done it so many times.
Well, and you don't want to let your team down either. So you're when you present, you're usually presenting part of a larger presentation. Yeah. And like Paige said, you have to know your stuff because there's not enough people to cover for you. And so if you don't do a good job, you'll get that feedback from your team and say, I think it would be better if you did this. And this that that feedback counts not just for the content, but for your presentation ability, where you stand, how you hold your hands. You've got a constant feedback from your teammates as you practice and prepare for things. Mm-hmm. And so by the time you get up there on stage in front of the rest of your classmates, who are also very supportive, I mean, it's competitive, but you're not, it's not cutthroat. Everybody wants to see their classmates do well, not just their teammates, but their whole classmates. And so this is a great time to practice, to fail, to succeed, and to gain that confidence. And you get feedback not just from your team, but from the professors and other students as well.
Yeah. The big difference I've seen in back in the work environment is there's all typically lots of opportunities that people have when they are in strategy sessions and leadership development classes. They do breakouts and they invariably say, you know, hey, who's going to present from our team? Mm-hmm. And so often the difference is someone's confidence and comfort with standing up and presenting. And so many times it's men that get up and go, oh, I'll go ahead and present. And I just look at the women and go, what's up?
Yeah.
And, you know, because you're losing the opportunity to be seen by
right.
leaders
mm-hmm.
as a leader
right.
and as someone who is articulate and confident. You right. just lost that opportunity. How many do you get?
Yeah.
And the beauty of the KSU program is because you create so many opportunities in 19 months, you get so comfortable with it that when it comes to a group breakout and whatever, and you're working with people and they go, okay, who's going to present? You go, I will. No
yeah.
problem. I've done it 100 times.
Yeah, either that or I guess it's my turn.
Yeah.
And it's not a big deal, right?
Yep. Okay. It's not. It doesn't give you that sense of dread and, you know, cold sweats.
And so to that point, of course, you're addressing more in the corporate world and you're addressing a little bit of the corporate and entrepreneurial and certainly in the program. But with regard to the entrepreneurial itself, do you see more females coming into micro entrepreneurship or do you see more males?
No, it's definitely a female kind of area. You know, most the area of micro business is about, and I could be a little wrong on the statistic, but 85% female
wow.
business owners. So, and I'm talking about the businesses that are five or less,
okay.
right?
Okay.
And I'm not talking about the small businesses that are 500 to
okay.
1,000 people that, you know, the SBA or the government says is small business. I'm
okay.
talking about the smaller of the small.
Okay.
And most of those folks are female. And so, I mean, it, you know, and especially in the program that I'm working for right now at the Edge Connection as program director, you know, we want to encourage and we build our programs around figuring out how we can help these women, which because most of them are, and when we are a women's business center too as well, build that confidence through our programs, our training, which helps with presentations and things like that as well. But, you know, yeah, they're predominantly female.
Which is why ProWin came about, right?
Which is why that relationship came about because, I mean, that is, you know, there's a huge need for that kind of coaching, mentoring for those smaller kinds of businesses. Even for myself, had I had a coach earlier on when I started out in business, I probably would be at a different place right now.
Okay.
I mean, just given that I could glean from somebody that had a little more experience in this whole being out on your own kind of thing, I probably would be someplace totally different. I mean, I think the Executive MBA program really helped me go back and look at some things because I had been out on my own for about a good 5-7 years
okay.
during that time before I started. And so once I came out of the program, I could just go back now and just kind of tweak some things and build some foundational things so that I could do different and act differently. Now, I came out in 07. I mean,
right.
the economy was going south at that point.
Correct.
So it was just that transition was quite interesting for me. So if I had that coach through that time, right now, 2013, where I'm just about to just launch again, probably just is what I call relaunch.
Okay.
I mean, I would have had – it would have been great. So that mentoring through that time when you've got folks who have been successful, you know, is very important. And so that's why we have that program right now.
And, Monique, I'm glad you brought that up, actually, because that's the other component I'd love us to step into. What happens in our program, for those who are listening and may not be aware, is that you come into our program regardless of whether or not you've had a business degree, undergrad rather, and you come into our business to understand how business works and how you put all the components together, you know, the economics, the finance, the marketing, mm-hmm. you know, et cetera, and you're not alone at that point because, as Monique spoke to, I didn't get it when I was in the program because it wasn't there at the time. I graduated in 05. Mm-hmm. Paige, you graduated in?
03.
And Cindy, you in 06. And so the coaching program came on a year afterwards, right? So you
yeah.
got the benefit of a little bit of coaching
I
there.
I did.
Yeah, and so actually, Cindy, you and I were in the inaugural pilot program of the managerial coaching certificate program, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so that whole component of being able to add more support to people across the board, mm-hmm. I think has made a huge difference, but that's just my thought. What are y'all thinking? Because, Paige, you work in a coaching program too.
Right, I coach both individuals and teams and started with, I think before it was an official certificate program, we were kind of messing around with, you know, would coaches help in this process? And it, from the coach perspective, it really, it's, I've maintained relationships, longstanding relationships with the students that were on the teams that I've coached. Mm-hmm. And they continue to call and ask for, you know, advice or mentoring from time to time. So it's a really, it was a really valuable experience on both sides. It sounded like it from the student's perspective, but it was really helpful for us as coaches to learn, you know, the field of coaching in a little bit more structured way, but also just the relationships and working the team through their issues gave us great experience as well. Okay.
And so do you also find, of course, you do this for a living, Cindy, now. So do you also find that given that you got, of course, both genders in the program, that you can actually pull a lady aside and say, hey, let's just make sure we're stepping it up a little bit more. You know, you can actually get a little bit more involved and say, okay, this is the right place to do it.
The women that I've coached need.
Oh, they don't need the help.
No, they. I don't need to wake anybody up and get them going. No, the women in general that I've coached are very strong, and so. But they do see things differently mm-hmm. than the men do, and
how
so,
different? How?
I think a lot of times women will take things personally.
Okay.
And if someone criticizes something that a woman has said or done, she'll tend to internalize that, I think, quicker than a man will.
Okay.
And so that's one of the things when we teach feedback, part of giving feedback is talking about a specific behavior instead of saying, oh, you always do this. It's like when you did this exact behavior. And so that takes a lot of the emotion out of it. And so training the leaders to give that feedback in the right way helps the recipient take it for what it is. And benefit from it because feedback is a gift mm-hmm. and should be treated as such, which I think I'm going to have on my tombstone. So I think taking the emotions out of it and is probably the biggest difference is that it's not a personal attack,
okay.
but try to hear what the person is saying.
Yeah, and since you were the only one out of the four of us that actually benefited from coaching in the program, I mean, did you see before and afters, or what did you? How did you benefit personally from it?
Well, you know, I mean, we had that coaching component. What was interesting is, you know, we were fighting it the whole time. I mean, a lot of the students
yes.
were fighting it, especially the point where the reflection point and where you had to journal and write and so I mean, you know, I'm a creative, so I mean, I am that right brain person. I'm going to reflect and I'm going to write in my journal all day long because that's just who I am. But a lot of my teammates were not that kind of – they didn't have that kind of personality, and so they fought that thing left and right. But, you know, the coaching component was really important. I mean, it was new, but we had a great coach, both from the staff, because we had a staff coach, and then we had a team coach.
Okay.
Right? So we had a staff coach and a team coach, and so we got coaching from both ends. So
okay.
they helped us come set up our charter, you know, got us prepared, our team coach did, and then we had feedback from that next level of staff or faculty.
Right. At the time, it started out as faculty
coaches. Yes, it was the faculty coach. Mm-hmm. And so it was a tremendous, you know, opportunity for me to learn how that really works. And I thought I was going to be a little more interested and go into that certification program too as well, but that didn't happen for me. But I found that I was doing a lot of that for a lot of the micro business owners who were coming through our program and people that I worked with anyway, that I was doing a little bit of that coaching as well. So it really helped in my business after I left.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that when it was first debuted in your class, mm-hmm. That there was some pushback. And of course, Cindy, you and I, and of course, Paige, you've seen it as well, where there are students who do tend to push back. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to address my question to you, Paige, but certainly everybody else can step in as well. So in my mind and in a lot of the research I'm reading, there is something to be learned about having enough margin in your life. Okay, I'm going to take it a little sideways, a little margin. So the margin simply means that there's time for us to reflect, look back on what we've done, and make heads or tails of it so that we don't then redo the same issues we did the first time. So we're not making the same mistake twice. And it seems as though the ministry has a better grasp on this concept of margins than most other vocations or professions. So can you speak to why it's important for leaders to really be careful about overloading themselves with work and thus not having enough time to think, breathe, and reflect?
Absolutely. It's something I think that we're all afflicted by because there's so much in our day, professionally and personally. But the reflection time is when you really learn. I think that's when your brain allows itself to create new pathways. And otherwise, it'll just stay in the same rut that it's been in because it knows it very, very well. Mm. And it does things the same way it's always done it. The brain is a very efficient tool. And it tries to not have to think too much on a lot of things by being able to just say, hey, I already know this, so I'm going to approach it the way that I've done this before. It's easier to do. You can then spend your brain energy on something else. But unless you take the time to reflect, and frankly, it's not easy to set aside time, but to take time to reflect, to think, I need to create some new neural pathways about how I handle this because it probably could have gone better. So part of that is just being honest with yourself and then getting feedback from others. Mm-hmm. And asking others to give you feedback about how do you think that meeting went? Is there anything that you think I could have done differently? What do you think? How did you read the group when I said this? I'm curious as to how you think, because I was thinking about a lot of things, but you were kind of seeing the whole group. What did you think? Mm-hmm. And then being able to take those, you know, those different inputs from different people and yourself, and sit for a moment. Or driving is one of my favorite reflection times, and really think about. How can I do things differently? And that's a challenge sometimes, but again, because you tend to just slide right into that same old neuropathway ditch of doing it the same way you've always done it, because it doesn't take a lot of energy to be able to do that. It's just a well-worn pathway.
Understood. And so now things are going to be a little different for you, because going forward you'll be downloading all the other 25 podcasts.
Clearly.
And listening to those going home.
How can I review my leadership capability when I'm listening to your radio show?
There you go. You've got to be able to get that. It builds a muscle. So, Cindy, certainly I have to keep coming back to you as our resident expert here. So I've heard Paige talk about being able to get the information, assimilate the information, taking time to reflect on it. How important is it, or is it important at all, to document what you've heard such that now you've got some type of physical manifestation of where you were then?
Well, that's interesting, because one of our first challenges was to write a professional development leadership plan as a student. And I'll find myself going back to that every now and then and looking and seeing, God, I wonder what I wrote way back then, and I wonder how it's changed. And so I think it's real interesting to do that and to keep journals and to see how you felt, especially when you're starting a new business and you have all these fears and doubts, and then the next day you're confident and you're ready to take on the world, and then again the next day you're like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this. And it's fun to, and a little scary, to go back and look and see at all the different things that you were feeling, but also to know that none of those are wrong. And you are going to feel, as there's stages of going through starting a new business, like the stages of grief and but that sounded negative.
Stages of grief.
There's some grief in there as well, and euphoria. So it's natural, and it's interesting, and it's healthy to see all those different things.
Well, good.
As you process them.
Because as we all know, you don't get the opportunity to choose whether or not you document these things. You have to document the journey in the Executive MBA program. It's
exactly.
Part of the way it works, right? And so we've been spending time with Cindy Jacoby, an entrepreneur and certified coach with BizHelp Consulting, a company she founded, and she's been coaching over 6 years at the executive and managerial levels. We've also been spending time here with Ms. Monique LaRue Wilson. She's a consultant focusing in both small biz and nonprofit sectors, and she's a program development consultant. And she's invested the past 11 years managing, implementing, and executing strategic business initiatives for small businesses and nonprofits. And we spent a lot of good time also with Paige Lillard. She's the VP of Business Excellence for Turner Broadcasting Systems, and she's responsible for the development of strategy and execution in technology and operations worldwide at Turner. Say that fast 5 times. I mean, that's a lot going on there across the world. That's pretty good stuff. So, ladies, when you think about the things you've gone through in this program, and you think about some of the richness that you've experienced and where you are today versus where you were when you first started this program, what would you be doing if you hadn't done this program?
Well, that's hard to say.
Yeah. I had been in my school for 17 years.
Wow.
Already. And I was comfortable and happy there, and I actually went to get an MBA so I could do a better job at the school, as long as there were fields or classrooms, and I could have more classes, more summer school, more camps. And it wasn't until I took the MBA courses where I saw that I may actually have transferable skills and that I wasn't stuck in where I was, that I could do other things. And so I probably would have been there for a long time. And my kids are go to school there, and it's easy, and it's I knew everything and very comfortable.
So that where the term happy camper came from?
That's I invented it.
It's a terrible joke. I'm sorry.
Copyrighted it.
Thoughts, ladies?
I'll just say that if I hadn't gone through the program, I'm not quite sure from a confidence perspective or how I think about what I can give and offer to my clients if that would have been where it is right now. You know, I think I'm at a point in my life where I'm flowing at a whole different level of consciousness about who I am, what I have to offer, and what I can deliver. And I think a lot of that came from my experience in the MBA program. And it's just been a notch in the belt. It's like the final notch. And, you know, people often ask me, would you go and get a PhD? I was like, oh, no, I think I got it right here. The MBA is enough. I'm already teaching marketing right now, so I don't need to do that to do that. So I think it was just the final notch, and I think it's one of the key things that will take me to the next level, help, you know, give me what I need to get me to the next level. So I'm just looking forward to what's to come.
Interesting.
I think the confidence component was key in my journey and in my career, because as I did more and accomplished more, I was, you know, in the room with higher and higher levels of folks, and being able to be confident about they know their areas of expertise, but I know a lot too,
right?
And not feeling like there's a gap in my knowledge. That was one of the biggest benefits of the program, is there's not a big gap in my knowledge, specifically about my subject matter expertise, mm-hmm. but also from the perspective of I know enough about what they do and their roles and the importance of their roles and how their role works in the system, yeah. to be able to have those conversations,
okay.
And be articulate mm-hmm. and confident about what I brought to the table and you know, respectful of what they brought to the table. So that was a big piece. The other thing that I think is really valuable about, you know, everybody thinks and they teeter back and forth on, should I get my MBA? Should I not get my MBA? You know, there's a cost, there's time, there's this, there's that. And when it came to the executive MBA, and I talked to one of a team member at Turner who actually is in the program now, it's, you know, 19 months is going to pass.
Yeah.
At the end of the 19 months, you may have your MBA if you decide to go through the program, because yeah. of course you can do it and you can make it, you know, you can make it through. But the other thing is you don't want to have something, a barrier to your success. And sometimes the lack of a degree is a barrier to your success. It could be because a particular job, when you ascend through the levels, requires it, mm-hmm. or it's just you need the knowledge that an MBA provides. Mm-hmm. And that yeah. experience in a program like the KSU MBA and the teaming, the coaching, the leadership, you know, all the assessments that you get, you really understand who you are and where your own gaps are just in your behaviors from a leadership standpoint. And to have that knowledge, that self-awareness, and then, you know, as another added big bonus is I'm not going to be in a situation where someone else gets a job because they have their MBA and I don't.
There you go. Yeah, so you've erased the yeah buts.
Yeah.
That's what Ralph De La Vega calls it. He spent some time with us at the Kohl's Breakfast Series 2 years ago. He has a book out called Obstacles Welcome. The CEO of AT&T Mobility. I mean, this is huge, a big guy, right? An immigrant from Cuba, by the way. Very interesting story. And he said, yeah, the MBA, you want to get rid of all the yeah buts. Mm-hmm. So any yeah but that's out there, you need to step forward. And really take a stand on that. Right. And with that in mind, I'll tell you that as we start to wind down here around the ROI of a KSU EMBA from a female perspective, one of the things I got when I went through the program and I heard other people talk about it, I was used to leading teams and I led call center teams, so I led hundreds of people at one time. So when that happens, you know, you get a lot thrown at you. Life comes at you fast. And so a lot of people don't go through those type of experiences. And so I heard that when I went through the program, I heard it when I was the director of the program, and I hear it now when I'm talking to people about getting into the program, which is well, the people I'm hearing in the program are not very comfortable. I mean, it's not a very easy experience. Mm-hmm. And my head shakes top to bottom, and I go, yes, that's correct. It's not designed to be a countable experience because if, in my opinion, if you want to get what you've been getting, just continue to do what you've been doing. So I'd love you ladies to speak to how comfortable you were as you progressed through this program. And if you were to stay comfortable throughout the program, would you be where you are today?
Well, I wasn't comfortable at all from the jump. So, I mean, I went in with a whole lot of fears and things like that about, you know, could I do it? And a funny story, I think I was, after I did the assessment and all that, we had got into the economics of it. I spoke briefly about this. And I went to Dr. Keefe and I said, I think I'm going to have to drop out. She said, what's wrong? I said, I just, this economics thing is just not coming. I am not getting it. It's not going to be good. I don't think I can do this. And she really just pulled me to the side and she said, just tell me what I can do to help you get through. I mean, do you need some tutoring? Do you need the books, extra stuff? We'll get it for you and prepare you. And so it wasn't easy for me starting out, and just through the process, I was uncomfortable quite a bit at multiple points throughout the program. So, I mean, I think I got comfortable the last month when we were like, it's done. I mean, you know, it's about to be over, and I was really ready to come out of it. But other than that, I don't think I wanted to be comfortable. I think if I were just kind of skating, that might be an issue for me.
Right.
I don't think I would have come out as confident as I am because I felt like those difficult points were what really just kind of helped me step up and just kind of push myself and to give me the confidence that I needed. So, yeah, that's my take on,
okay.
Yeah.
For me, you know, there's going to be something in the program that's easy because you're naturally good at something.
That's mm-hmm. right.
So if you're an ops manager person, then that part's going to be super a breeze. Or if you're a finance person, that part's going to be a breeze. But then your role is to help teach others because there's other people who will be struggling in whatever you're strong in. So, but the parts that you're not comfortable in are supposed to be hard because you're not comfortable with it in the first place.
That's right.
So, and I helped create a women's leadership program at Turner, and part of the focus of the program was to be really challenging. And I tell the students, you know, this is going to be a challenging 10 weeks for you, but it's built that way.
Yes.
It's specifically built that way because it needs to push you out of your comfort zone or you won't learn. Mm-hmm. And those experiences that we have that are the most challenging are the ones you remember in your life mm-hmm. and the ones you get the most from.
Okay. Okay. Well, when it comes to the challenges, you probably had to deal with more than most, especially since you had a couple of kids as well.
I did. And I mentioned my story on my challenges, but I think from a coaching perspective, that I get a lot of pushback as a coach for the teaming aspect of it and the one willingness to give feedback. That's always the hardest thing for the team members to begin to do is to hold each other accountable and to give that feedback. And I just prefer to give it in private. And that's, well, you know, this is an education session and an educational setting. And if you already knew how to do it, you wouldn't be in this program. And so it's fun to have that challenge and to push back to them and see them progress through it. And then also by the end emerge realizing how important it is to be able to talk to your teammates, to challenge them on things. And, you know, if someone doesn't produce what they're supposed to do, to be comfortable and confident and say, well, you know, you were going to have this due on this day and it's not, you know, can you tell us about what happened? And the first couple semesters, they would never dare to speak to a team member like that. And it's not an ugly way to speak, but it's, If you're gonna learn to be in a high performing team, there are certain stages that you go through, and being able to hold somebody accountable in a happy, friendly way for the people who get emotional about it,
right.
You can still be tough, but
and get the point across
exactly. Yeah. And yeah. So, I think that's a fun part about the teaming and the fear. A lot of it is over the program because you can go online and study finance. You know, it's not the book smarts. You get the book smarts, but that's not the goal. It's the challenge of working with the team. Like Paige said, she had to step down from the leadership role, and that's usually not done initially by yourself. Usually it's a feedback from your teammates that say, Paige, mm-hmm. you always step in, and it's somebody else's turn to lead. And I think that's one of my big ahas is to go, you know what? everybody in this room is capable.
Everybody's
and you
capable.
Need to let people have their turn being a leader mm-hmm. and just sit back and close your mouth and see how they do. And it's shocking, the quieter people, when you let them talk. It's they say brilliant things. And so I learned a lot about that.
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted to add one other thing, though, too, because even in the program, and this is probably one of the things that challenged me the most, because the program is so heavy, finance, operations, and all that other stuff, and great with the teaming and all that, but I'm a creative and I'm a marketer, so we had an ounce of marketing, really, which because that finance was heavy, that economics, that operations, and so where I was comfortable, it wasn't a whole lot of time for me to be comfortable in that space. So it was really interesting. So I kind of, you know, squeezed in there in the communications area. We had, you know, a little bit of that, but it was quite interesting. But it truly has really given me what I need to move forward. So I am not complaining.
Very good. Very good. All right, now, ladies, so we're going to wind this down. So I am actually going to present my final question to you. You have not been prepped on this question, so I'm going to always have a good time.
Prepped on any of the questions.
That's right. Right.
I always have a great time when I ask this question because then I get to see the faces. So which book has most impacted your leadership ability?
I know mine.
Okay, you know your book, Cindy Jacoby?
The Five Dysfunctions of a Team.
Wow.
Great book. And I'm not a huge reader, but since the program, I love to pick up business books and read those. But that one is told from more of a story perspective, a nonfiction perspective than the regular do's and don'ts on business. And I think it's incredibly helpful, and you can see what a leader goes through when she takes on a new team and all the different personalities and the challenge of trying to get everybody to work together as a whole and not just for their individual department. So it's
and
great.
I love the way you said when she takes over. I love that. That's great. Monique, your thoughts?
Okay, well, I'm gonna slightly move from more of a corporate business kind of thing here and just go into an entrepreneurial piece. I've been reading a book called Platform, and
Michael Hyatt,
and right now because I'm really just changing some things and building a brand for myself. That book Platform has really. Opened my eyes to a lot of different ways of really setting up and creating a brand for whoever, whether you're a personality, a teacher, or whatever, just helping me get that to the next level. So that's the book that I'm reading right now. It's for the now professional, if you will.
Okay. And so, Paige, which book has most impacted your leadership ability?
Well, if you go back, I guess impactful in the fullness of time, I would go back to a book called TQ Manager. It's not in print anymore, so it's like $2.35 on Amazon. It's great.
Wow.
But actually, it was actually my introduction to the concepts of what used to be called total quality management and has manifested itself a thousand ways, one of it being servant leadership. How do you as a leader provide the atmosphere and the business tools and the training and the systems and the environment for your people to do their best work so that your customers can have their best product or service? You know, it's a pretty simple concept, but it lit me up because I just hadn't heard or thought of anything like that. This is when I was still an audio engineer. And reading that made me say, you know, if this is what leadership is, I think I'd really like to get into this.
Yeah. Okay. You might have a career in there somewhere, right?
Yeah.
So Cindy and Monique and Paige, on behalf of our learning community, we've learned a whole lot from you. You've actually met the bar with regard to the pressure we put on you at the very beginning of this whole conversation. So
just met it? We have not exceeded expectations?
I don't know. Kevin, what do you think?
What would it have taken for us to exceed?
I see thumbs up over there, so he's saying absolutely. So on behalf of our learning community, again, we certainly appreciate your accepting this invitation to join us today. And so I'd love to have you back on the show sometime in triplicate, of course. Is that a deal?
Absolutely.
Sounds great.
And we've got you all on at least audio, not video, but certainly we have you on audio. So with that in mind, could you tell us how our learning community can contact you by email and or by phone?
Well, you can reach me at www.moniquelarue.com. That is my new website. And so you can go out there, you can contact me, you'll have information how to get to my LinkedIn, Twitter page, and all that kind of stuff. So that's the best way to just connect with me right now.
Okay.
You can reach me at cindy.jacoby@bizhelpconsulting.com or just go to bizhelpconsulting.com.
Or just yell out at the front door and say, Cindy!
Listen for the chickens.
Right.
For me, page.lillard@turner.com.
So with that response, we'll bring this week's edition of Global Leader Radio to a close. So we invite all our listeners to check our web presence for more information on previous interviews and links to valuable leadership resources. And these ladies have given me the disclaimer to allow some of the video that we have taken to actually appear on the site. So look for that coming as well, and perhaps even in our Facebook site as well. So also, please drop me an email at acm0996@kennesaw.edu if you have recommendations for guests. And for those of you interested in our award-winning Executive MBA program, please go to the EMBA icon on our Global Leader Radio site to connect to us and sign up for an information session. As a matter of fact, our next information session will be January the 26th, which is a Saturday. So join us again at this same location for the next edition of Global Leader Radio, the show that discusses ideas that matter with people who care. So have a great week.
Global Leader Radio is brought to you by the Executive MBA program at Kennesaw State University. Take charge of your personal development and professional career today by learning more at KSUEMBA.com. And join us next week as we discuss ideas that matter with people who care.